Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz underscore radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Great to have you in. It's Friday. Hail Varsity Radio presented by the Nebraska Lottery. It is on. The Pride of Chicago, Danny Burke, just took his sweatshirt off. He's wearing something under it, not to tease anybody out there. But man, he's ready. He didn't even roll the sleeves up. He just took them off. A lot of Northwestern Nebraska today as we send you into the weekend. Excited to be with you on a Friday with Hail Varsity. 466-3776, 466-3776, 1-800-825-5865. Get in and fire off a prediction if you want. We won't hold it against you. We might even give you some praise on Monday. You can email chris@halevarsity.com. Danny, is there anything in studio? Like, we give football tickets away for home football Fridays. I get it. Home football Saturdays. We're on the road at the Graduate for home football Fridays. So the road weekends, is there anything we can give away in studio that is just, well, it's awful. No one wants it, but hey, you win. Here's your prize. If you guess the score correctly.
I don't think we have anything.
You don't see anything?
Away.
Is there like some junior mints in back there, some gummy bears?
Maybe we just give them a chance to call in and boast about their winnings and just brag about it.
No one gives
it
a damn.
Your face.
I don't know. Can email chris@halevarsity.com. Follow us on Twitter at Schmidt underscore radio, at Danny Burke 5, and at Hail Varsity in Chicago, depending on if he makes it or not, per reading Twitter with the Uber driver crew that Hail Varsity's using. a little sweaty, a little dicey, apparently. So we'll check in with Brandon Vogel. We'll find out where he's going to eat in Chicago tonight. We'll get his thoughts on Nebraska and Northwestern. Bill Dolman is coming up in 1 hour. Jacob Weinmaster is your inside linebacker. We'll see how much time he gets on Saturday. Kid out of Loveland, Colorado. It is a good sit-down with Jacob. That coming up at 5:25. And then your friend, our favorite, Klausburn, as part of the Friday forecast. You have the numbers to get in. Can join us. Can share your thoughts on Nebraska and Northwestern. We'll hit some NFL here in about 30 minutes. Two games I have circled: Kansas City, New England, Denver, and the Rams. Those are the two.
No love for my Bears.
Who do they play?
Miami on the road. Aren't you a Dolphins guy?
I told you, I can take or leave Miami. I liked them when they had Sue, and I liked them even more when they had the two Marks and a guy named Marino.
I have a Marino jersey.
Really?
Yeah, best quarterback to never win a Super Bowl.
I know that. Thank you for rubbing it in, Daniel. Okay, your fan poll. Let's get into it. You can log on, HailVarsity.com. Northwestern about a 4-point favorite over Nebraska this weekend. What is your prediction for Saturday? Northwestern wins and covers. Northwestern wins but doesn't cover. Or Nebraska wins. A, B, or C. Let's get into it. Scott Frost earlier this week, or more like yesterday, this will open it up to a broader discussion of Scott Frost, and is he making too many comments? Are people taking notes? Scott Frost, do you take offense to this if you maybe wear a little purple and black and silver when it comes to Frost talking about home field or lack thereof with Nebraska Northwestern?
I hope there's a lot. I know that's the MO for Nebraska fans. Chicago's a place that people from Nebraska live and are near. Chicago's a place that people from here would go visit. So I hope there's a lot of red in the stadium, but we're planning on it. We're not going to use a silent snap count. So we need Nebraska fans to show up.
So very innocent comment. First and foremost, that's my response. Second of all, we're not going to use a silent snap count. It's not going to be Columbus. It's not going to be Madison. It's not even going to be Minnesota. So Nebraska's preparing like every other road team that has the road home game at Northwestern. Everyone's fan base travels. Pat Fitzgerald wants people keg standing. I'm exaggerating, but not really. It's homecoming. Be loud, be proud, make it a home field. The last time it was insane in home field was 2013 against the Ohio State. But is that something you say or should say? I don't want a censored Scott Frost. We won't get a censored Scott Frost, but let's do some math here. Are Big Ten teams getting more amped to play Nebraska? Maybe it's not a Scott Frost thing. Maybe it's just a Nebraska in the Big Ten thing. And I know Nebraska's been in the league for 7 years, okay? But this Nebraska doesn't do itself any favors, and it's okay, because I hear you. I grew up rooting for Nebraska, going to Nebraska. I understand this. It's okay to look down your nose at the Kansases and Iowa States of the world, because you crushed them. Well, that's not the case anymore. It's been a long time since Nebraska's lined up and consistently dominated anybody. It's a different world. Nebraska's trying to get back there to that. But you still kind of have this aura, this arrogance, this, well, we're Nebraska. And I get it, man. That's like birthright as a Nebraska fan. But it isn't the case anymore. And the reason I'm talking about this is just the track record here of confidence. And that confidence could rub some and has rubbed some, if you just get real down to it, wrong. Press conference. They got to adjust to us offensively. Winnable game. 2 years ago. Any edge, right? But we out-hit them. I can keep going. Don't need the silent snap count. Don't know that there was anything said, but much respect this week to Northwestern. Much respect given to Wisconsin. Tons of respect given to Michigan. Didn't really think about Troy. It showed. The comments of Colorado and their linebackers now out for the season. The guy who did the old ravishing Rick Rude / Ric Flair figure four on Adrian. So that's football karma. But there's been talk. There's also been positive talk. There's been real talk. There's been straight talk. And that won't change, I hope, from Scott Frost and his staff. But there is a bit of self-assured confidence that you need. But it was taken note, and as Purdue walked off the field, the guys were saying winnable game. And if you're Northwestern, as you rally your team tonight and get them ready tomorrow, do you remind them that Nebraska doesn't think they need a silent snap count? That's more of a fan issue than anything, and I'd raise hell about it if I'm Pat Fitzgerald, but I got my Lakeshore indoor practice facility, so better late than never for him. 13 years of fighting for that thing. So I don't know. Am I off here that maybe the rest of the Big Ten still hates Nebraska and wants to fraternity paddle Nebraska every chance they get? No, they do. Because Nebraska thought, and I'm guilty, I thought Nebraska'd walk in and be too fast and too physical for the Big Ten. They are not, man. They are not physical enough, and they are not fast enough for the Big Ten. It's flipped. It's deteriorated. It's gone downhill. But can change Saturday with a win. Not just a cover, but you need a win. You need a win to start backing up the words. You need a win to change the trajectory of this 2018, and it can still happen. I have no doubt that Nebraska is going to be up there with Iowa, with Wisconsin, with the lines of scrimmage that you think of in the Big Ten. They'll get back there from a strength and conditioning standpoint. Are they going to be able to out-recruit Penn State and Ohio State? No. But I think they'll be able to out-develop or get on par and land some special skill guys. They've already done that with Adrian Martinez. So I think things will work out okay for Nebraska. I have no flipping clue about what's going to happen tomorrow. I'll throw it out there in an hour and a half with the forecast. But I don't think Nebraska has done itself any favors, how they've entered into this season and how they've been perceived in the Big Ten. And they've been down and no one's helped them up. They've been continued to be kicked in the ribs. And you've earned that. Now it's time to get up and fight back. People are tired. They're sweating. They need a tag team partner for as much as you've been kicked while you're down as Nebraska. That's just kind of Frost, though. That's just how he is. And that's what you love about him as a Nebraska fan, be it the Tom Osborne stump speech after they beat Tennessee, be it the fact that the guy went on his own path to Stanford because he wanted to be a pro quarterback. The fact he took shot after shot as a scout team quarterback, and guys like Peter and Wistrom beat the hell out of him because he thought he was too good. He's always had that confidence. Some will say cockiness to him. It's made things difficult, but it's also made him great. And the thing that you're going to know and you can rest on if you're Nebraska is that guys with the coaching staff and the head man himself, they're taking mental notes and physical notes of how to adapt and adjust. And Scott Frost's history has always backed him up following through with talking a big game. He has won. He's been a tremendous coordinator. He won at Central Florida. But also, there's always been little toe stubs by Frost. Like the decision to go to Stanford over Nebraska. Didn't work out. Got BS'd about playing quarterback. What happened? Came back to Nebraska. Had to work his way back. Ended positively with a championship. You kind of bounce around with some cutting your teeth jobs. You land at Oregon, you're patient, you go to Central Florida, and you knock it out of the park. His transition back to Nebraska, Arizona State, his first season, the guy got crushed by his fellow students, and he kind of had to learn the hard way. And his senior season was incredible. So this is not new for Scott Frost's history of taking on jobs, be it as a player or as a coach. The only thing that's been kind of the outlier has been how quick the success was at Central Florida. They were 6-7, year one, undefeated last year. You know that. He's also always been outspoken. He'll tell you what he believes and not BS you. He did that with the media tour as coach of the year. And he was on TV a lot when it came to the championship and things being stacked against Central Florida. Wasn't whining. He's just being honest. So I think you could appreciate that honesty, and it'll pay dividends in living rooms. But right now, coaches are using every word he says, maybe blowing it a bit out of proportion, and they are not stapling, they are nailing what he says and how he has said things. And what video exists out there is any edge possible to get up for an 0-5 football team.
Yeah, Nebraska definitely isn't doing themselves any favors, but what you get is what you get with Scott Frost, and that's why he was brought here to Nebraska. You can't put a muzzle on him. If you're a player, you want to go to fight for the guy who's standing up for your team.
Boys, you're going to go roll, right? I mean, you want that confidence.
Yeah, and sure, it gives motivation to the other team, but that should give even more motivation to your own team, how much he's talking you up and how much he backs you guys up despite still being winless here. I mean, how do you not want to fight for that guy? That's who you want in a coach. And like I said, that's what you're going to get with Scott Frost. And you mentioned he has a history, and he does. So he has the right to say it in the Big Ten. Maybe, maybe not. But
he's just thinking he is backing Nebraska, the program that he knows. Right. It's just a different program right now as this makeover continues.
And he wouldn't say that stuff.
Am I out of it? I mean, you tell me, brother. You have friends that have gone to different Big Ten universities. You came here. God love you. And is there that perception of Nebraska that, man, Nebraska rolls in like they own it? Is that true?
To a certain extent, I think. I'm trying to think because, you know, when we when I first got to college, that was Nebraska's 9-3 year with Bo Pelini when he got fired. So everyone was kind of like, you know, Nebraska's Nebraska. They just knew it from football, from an outside perspective. Of course, they haven't made too much noise since the championships outside of the state where I grew up. But now it's just kind of the laughing stock amongst our friends who just give me and my other buddies crap who go here. And then they think, oh, big shot, big shot. But then you get Scott Frost. They're like, okay, you know,
let's sit up straight in our chair now.
Yeah, it's like they know it's not going to be an instant where they're going to be good again, just like every Nebraska fan knows that. But they're like, you know, let's take advantage of the situation while they're still winless. Give us crap now, meaning
well,
me
think
and my
about
friend,
Big Ten Media Days. You're back here, I'm out there, we're doing shows, and it's you better get us now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's
exactly
it's this unwavering resolve. Outside of Nebraska, you call it arrogance. Inside Nebraska, you call it confidence. And it's time to deliver. It is absolutely time to deliver for Nebraska football on Saturday against Northwestern. The fan poll question, the line is 4 to 4.5. Northwestern wins and covers. Northwestern wins but doesn't cover. Nebraska wins. Go ahead and vote. Go to HaleVarsity.com. But hey, whatever it takes to gain or get an edge, and the talking that has gone on before and after and during games being used and abused by Big Ten coaches, and it's time for Nebraska to answer back. We'll see if they do that Saturday. We'll head to Chicago. We'll see if it's deep dish or barbecue or Italian beef for Brandon Vogel of HaleVarsity.com, the pride of Fairbury, Bill Dolman, in 1 hour. Husker inside linebacker Jacob Weinmaster. Great to be with you on a Friday with Hale Varsity.
And we're back.
Fellas, you think we could listen to the radio?
On Hale Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Yes! That's awesome!
Great to have you back. Hale Varsity Radio presented by the Nebraska Lottery. 1 hour from now, Husker inside linebacker Jacob Weinmaster, Chris Schmidt. The pride of Chicago is Danny Burke. Find and follow us on Twitter at Schmidt_radio. At Danny Burke 5, we welcome in Brandon Vogel, HaleVarsity.com and magazine. Read his story. It's up, HaleVarsity.com. The Huskers return to their home away from home. Vogues, I'm going to get Danny's take from his family and friends in Chi-Town in about 15 minutes, how much red is there. But you've had a unique travel experience today. First and foremost, did everyone survive the Uber trip?
Yes, everyone is accounted for. Got a couple of remaining people who are, one was in town early, a day early, and another one's still getting here too, for our team to fully assemble and be at full strength. But otherwise, no problems.
Okay. I'm just making sure of that. How much red have you seen today in your travels?
A good amount. It wasn't you know, one that blew you away. Now, again, I got into O'Hare at like 7 a.m., so it was pretty early at that point. I'm confident the more has rolled in since then, but certainly more red than Northwestern purple I've seen, which isn't uncommon. Uncommon way. When you're in the Chicago airport, you see just about every team represented, but not the hometown team, I guess.
Well, you know, that's an ongoing fight. Loved your story today on Home Away From Home. We started off the show kind of talking about the perception of Nebraska, the rest of the Big Ten versus those in state, and can call it confidence, can call it arrogance, can call it cockiness. But Coach Frost is very direct and honest and talks and will tell you what's on his mind if you ask him a question. Do you feel it's an inordinate amount of note-taking that's been going on? How much is what Frost has said has gotten other teams fired up? And do you believe the we don't need a silent count is going to be further bulletin board material tomorrow?
No, I certainly took note of it. I'll be surprised if that one gets people too riled up. You know, that's one that's been a fact for when Nebraska has played here in the past. So not much you can say about that one. You know, and I think a big part of this is just being 0-5. Mm-hmm. Like if Nebraska had looked a little better, if they were in Northwestern's position at 2-3 or 3-2, you know, something along those lines, then you're closer to having the season I think most people expected for Nebraska, and then it becomes more about football. You know, Frost is going to say what he wants to say, and I find that to be pretty refreshing. It's avoiding the coach speak that we've come to expect, and I think we expect it so much that when you get the other part of it, it feels even stranger than it actually is.
Brandon, a lot of people are saying, and it's pretty obvious, that if Nebraska were to at least cut down a lot of their penalties, they'd have a lot better chance to win these games. Say you discard the penalties, why is Nebraska still an underdog to Northwestern? Why can Northwestern still beat Nebraska even if they clean up their play?
Well, I mean, because Northwestern's sort of the example of what that can look like when you don't have them. You know, Northwestern is strong defensively, and I think they're always going to be pretty strong defensively as long as Fitzgerald's there. Offensively, though, you know, the loss of Jeremy Larkin has made this offense very, very one-dimensional. We talked earlier in the season about Nebraska being a team, and they still are doing this, that will run the ball on passing downs and passing situations. Well, Northwestern does exactly what you'd expect. When they get in those situations, they're going to throw. They had 8 yards rushing last week. So it's kind of Northwestern is really interesting because they've gotten to that, and they've had some close losses, despite, you know, really not being that type of team that can challenge you in a bunch of different ways. And I think Nebraska is a team like that when it's not hurting itself. So Northwestern is sort of the Dr. Jekyll, I guess, to Nebraska's Mr. Hyde a little bit. It shows you what discipline can do for you. And also, you know, they've been a really good field position team. So those are kind of the two things Nebraska hasn't done. And you see here in just the comparison of the two teams, what a difference that makes. So Nebraska can be a little bit disciplined on Saturday. I think they should have a pretty great shot.
Brandon Vogel's with us, HailVarsity.com and Magazine. He is in Chicago. Or are you in Evanston? Are you in Chicago or Evanston?
We're not in Evanston. So I think technically we are within Chicago city limits. All right.
Well, good. We'll find out the dinner agenda and plans for this evening in a little bit. I need to know what you're confident in with Nebraska tomorrow. You think Nebraska will do what well tomorrow?
I think the defense has a great shot to play pretty well here for a lot of the reasons that we just discussed. You know, Northwestern, with its running game the past two games, well, there hasn't been much of one. So they should be able to – Nebraska should have a pretty good idea of what's coming. They should be able to sort of bow up against the pass a little bit just coming in based on their tendencies. And Nebraska's defense, you know, has – put up some or allowed, you know, some pretty high point totals, but efficiency wise, it's a matter of, you know, being good on two downs and then really losing that third one. When Nebraska's given up big plays, they've gone really big. Northwestern's not a really explosive offense. So you can control a little bit of that there, but just looking at it from a kind of game plan and scheme perspective, I think Nebraska should have a pretty good advantage there. So, this is one where if that point total starts climbing in this game, that's an alarming thing for Nebraska and certainly a bad sign for their chances to win.
What's a number you're good with for Nebraska? I mean, we talk about the offense, and you did a great story earlier in the week, points and yardage and those yards that are up. I mean, Nebraska's trying to avoid the old Bob Uecker Hall of Shame here with 500-yard games and losses, right? Already had three of them. So if you crank out 500 yards, how many points should you put up? And I know we can get into field position and third down percentage and all that garbage, but, I mean, is Nebraska – are they due to finally get over 30? Because I think they're good enough to do that. The offense has been good enough to win a lot of these games.
Yeah, they have. I don't know the exact number in terms of like national averages this year, but I'm guessing that if you're averaging about 500 yards a game, you should probably be in the neighborhood of 35 points. And Nebraska's what, 24 maybe now, maybe even a little bit less than that. You know, they're down in the bottom 15 or 20 teams in the country, and that's tough to do. And some of that's, you know, having a 75-yard field to go every time, which it seems like Nebraska has on offense, and there's like you said, a ton of things that go into that. But yeah, for that number, you should certainly be over 30. I kind of came into the season thinking Nebraska would end up around, you know, 31, 32, 33. And that would have been a big jump from the previous season. They're putting up the yards, I think, to do it. They just haven't kind of done the detail-oriented things that allow you to finish off those drives and even just get a couple of short drives. You know, that's one of these things where some of that's just a little bit of randomness and luck, too. You have to think, well, one of these games, Nebraska's going to get a couple, 40 or 30 yard short fields just based on a turnover or a takeaway, and they haven't gotten many of those either.
If Nebraska wins this game, if they clean up their play, if they get the win comfortably, what will be the narrative surrounding Scott Frost in Nebraska come Monday?
I think it'll be a reiteration of sort of what he has said post-Purdue, that, you know, you can hear the coaches talk about turning a corner, about how they've got the culture keepers in place now and gotten rid of some of the culture killers, all of those sorts of things. But until you see a win in the win column, that's even more important than, you know, playing well and maybe losing unluckily. You know, that time has passed now for Nebraska in 2018. People, and I think this is, you know, as true for fans as it is for the players on the team, they need to see a win. And if you get that, then you start, you know, you almost can't help but look at, okay, the rest of your games this month are at home. Minnesota, Bethune-Cookman, those are teams that Nebraska can beat and be in the game with. Tomorrow, if they get that, is really the chance to kind of revive this 2018 season, because you just look at the schedule realistically. If they come out of this month on a 3-game winning streak, well, you got an entirely different November to look at than you do right now.
Brandon Vogel's with us, HaleVarsity.com and Magazine. Vogues, I have about 2 minutes, and I like the culture keeper t-shirt idea you just threw out there for Minnesota Week with HaleVarsity.com/store for next week. Where are you eating tonight? What are your plans?
Yeah, I think the plan tonight is burgers. We've got many Shake Shack fans on staff, so I think that's the plan. Derek and Jacob were out here in Chicago a day early. Plug for that. They did some really great stories from Nebraska basketball media days. So check those out. They did the pizza thing last night, so I think that'll be off the table for us. So it's looking like burgers, which I'm perfectly fine with.
You are a burger guy. Danny is right now ready to jump on the Italian beef suggestions. Have you two come to an agreement on Italian beef in Chicago? Vogel?
I'll go wherever Danny tells me. He's the expert here. I've only done that once when I've come here, and it's an experience that I need to have again.
You can pretty much just walk anywhere down Chicago and just find a remote kind of place and get a good beef. The places by my house, obviously Portillo's, and then there's a place called Johnny's Beef. And then a good burger for you. This is more...
Say Johnny's Beef again.
Johnny's Beef. And then there's a good burger place that kid I went to high school with.
Named Johnny.
No. Different kid. The place is called Paradise Pub. It's the best burger I've ever had. It's in Des Plaines, though, so it's a little bit farther out. Guy Fieri ate there, so it's a great place. If you're even near that, I would go there. It's great. They close early, though, so.
Okay, well, we've got an early game tomorrow, so we'll get our stories wrapped up quick and try and hit that.
There you go.
Vogues, we may give you a shot for a Real Red Reaction tomorrow, live from Evanston, as you're Facebook Living the Nebraska crowd as they cheer victory. 10 seconds, give me a score. Nebraska-Northwestern.
Yeah, I'm hesitant to get Nebraska too high, so 31-24. That's where I'm coming in.
Okay. The red or the purple?
The red.
All right.
The red and you.
Brandon Vogel, at Brandon L. Vogel on Twitter. He'll be tweeting out taunting picks tonight and all weekend for Nebraska. Vogues, be good, brother. Thanks for the time.
All right. Thanks, like
I. See ya. There he is, Brandon Vogel, with this on Hail Varsity.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Mm-hmm. Back with you, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, the Pride of Chicago, is Danny Burke. Talks from Nebraska Northwestern, Bill Dolman, and Jacob Winemaster, Husker inside linebacker. Our conversation coming up with him in a little bit. So, Danny, you've checked in with your peeps in Chicago. The Big Red Invasion is happening. And what's the feedback and reaction in Chi-Town? Does that bother you if I call it Chi-Town?
No.
No? Is that okay? Is that
all good?
Does that happen?
Yeah.
You've heard of that before?
Yeah, of course.
Okay. I'm making sure. I got questioned about it on Twitter a while back.
Ah, okay.
So my question here is, are your Chicago people amazed that so many folks are out for an 0-5 team?
Yeah, they really are. I mean, if you're not from Nebraska, you don't get it. And I didn't understand it until I got here just how crazy Nebraska fans are about their teams, no matter what it is, from volleyball to football to tennis to wrestling. I'm just amazed. Like when I went to go cover a volleyball game and the whole Devaney Center was just packed, I was absolutely stunned. So what people from other states don't realize is just how passionate Nebraska fans are. So Chicago people down in the city and on the radio, they're talking, they're like, I can't believe like these Nebraska fans are just proudly wearing their red and repping their N with this winless season so far. And just listening there, people tell me that, I was like, yep, that's like no surprise. And you'll see it all throughout the stadium. So yeah, people are kind of in disbelief that they just wear it so proudly, but that's just how Nebraska is, man, from what I've learned.
It is. And the other part of this thing too is Chicago's an awesome, awesome town. So much fun.
Mm-hmm.
And growing up, going there for Cub games, mom and dad would take my brother and I, and like the last great family truckster vacation was to Chicago. I think this was 99 or 2000. Might have been, anywho, carry the one. And Ken Griffey Jr. is playing for the Reds, which was heartbreaking in its own right, but it happened. Mm-hmm. So he hits a grand slam, and we're having Coronas in the third baseline. It was awesome. So much fun.
Mm-hmm.
Chicago and Wrigleyville and Murphy's, and I still have T-shirts 20 years later from that.
You got to go to Sluggers, though, man. They got the batting cages, arcade game, live piano.
I got to do that. I didn't go. It was just a work trip for media days. But, no, it's such a good time, and that's part of this, too. It's not Nebraska fan rolling to West Lafayette. It's not even Nebraska fan going to Spartyville, right? Columbus you get because it's Nebraska, Ohio State. You want it to mean something someday. It's Madison. Barry Alvarez, the Nebraska influence. Folks will go that way. Iowa, it's at least drivable. But Chicago, I know you hop on a plane and you get there in a couple hours, and it works. But that's as much a part of this as anything, because you can get there. It's not overly excessive price-wise to get there. I mean, it's not easy, but it's not horrible. You get there, hotels are going to be brutal.
Depends when you book them.
It's $9 a beer. Mm-hmm. That's just the rule Chicago has, which kind of sucks, but whatever. And then you're going to go to an incredible campus and see a game where you're going to sit next to your neighbor. You just traveled 8 hours away to do it because the ticket availability.
Yeah, and the thing is, it's like you go there, win or lose, you're still going to have a good time in the city. So that's like half the battle for the Nebraska fans, too. They'll have something to have a good time about, regardless if they're willing, like you said, to spend $9 a beer. So be advised, pregame, no matter what.
Have you been and socialized around Northwestern at all?
No, not really.
I drove through there once. It's been a long time ago. I'm serious. Mm-hmm. Like 2 years, we're there for the next road game to Northwestern, we're doing our show from there.
I worked down in that area in Evanston. It's a really nice area. And
beautiful homes,
yeah,
right?
I worked in a couple homes like when I was doing like a moving company. And the homes are huge.
Danny,
but I never
you
like,
were
gone
a
to
mover?
Yeah, just like odd jobs in the summer. So
that's fine. I'm not knocking it. I'm just saying good for you.
Yeah, I also did like carpet cleaning, mold remediation, all that crap. That sucks.
Good for you.
Yeah. Making 15 an hour, so not too bad.
No, I hear you.
That's how you rack up the bucks.
And the bills.
Yeah.
That's how you pay your friend Damian down the hall.
There you go.
Let's talk some NFL. Speaking of, you can chime in on your Bears if you want, but Denver and the Rams, that's in Donkey Land,
mm-hmm.
-7 for L.A., and then you have Kansas City at New England. This feels like a setup for Kansas City, They're so good. They've been playing so well. They've been annihilating everybody. They've already won in New England. They did a year ago.
Mm-hmm. It's 3.5.
It's 3.5. It's 3.5, and you get points for Kansas City.
Right.
And the Pats right now are teetering a bit for them, or it's early season. Denver got wore out by Mahomes. I wonder if there's a little bit of vengeance for them. I wanted to go to this game so bad. Didn't end up happening, but to see Sue against Denver would have been fun. But I think Denver's defense can keep it close, but the offense.
Think about that. Did you see how they played against the Jets last weekend?
That's bad.
They gave up over 200 yards on
the ground?
Yeah, on the ground.
I'm playing Gurley, yeah.
Yeah, that was brutal. I hate the 7-point spread, but the Rams will win. I don't know if they'll cover because it's in Denver. I don't know.
Both these teams, Kansas City, Denver, are insane places to go see games at. Mm-hmm. It's a true home field, college feel. Right. So, I don't know. Are you feeling one way or the other?
Well, for the Patriots, Chiefs, here's the thing. I don't know if the Chiefs get it done just for the fact that Mahomes is a young guy.
Aren't they?
Yeah, he's going against Tom Brady. They're due to lose. Tom Brady's got a little bit of swagger now with that Josh Gordon coming. They got that big touchdown. But the Patriots are just not that good this year. They really aren't. The over-under's at like 60 right now. It's going to be a high-scoring game, no doubt. But it's in Foxborough, and Tom Brady's Tom Brady. I just don't see Pat Mahomes
getting it done. New England's defense be good enough without Patricia against this elite offense?
They weren't that great with Patricia last year.
No, but they got to a Super Bowl.
Sure, yeah.
That's my point.
Yeah, Tom Brady got them there, their offense. But will it be good enough? I think it will just because of the home field advantage.
See,
the thing is
Kansas City's defense is awful.
Yeah.
Is Barry back this weekend?
I don't think so. They actually played well against the Jags, but then again, it's the Jags who have, what, D.D. Westbrook as their number one receiver for Nets injured. Yeldon's doing okay, but
I mean, yeah, but you mean Jacksonville needs 3 points and they're good,
yeah,
usually.
Just about. So, and you saw Jacksonville did against Kansas City in their offense. I mean, Kansas City.
That was in the slop.
Yeah. So, I don't know.
I just wonder if this is the game. Mahomes is going to be money.
How it's going to be the true inner self of Pat Mahomes.
Well,
or do you still give him time no matter what?
No, I think he plays well. I think Brady's going to raise his freaking game
and want to show. Can't get shown up.
Yeah, he can't.
He won't let it happen.
He will not let it happen at home. And I think Kansas City goes down, but I don't think it's by much.
No,
I mean I think that 3.5 is very, very dangerous to mess with.
It's pretty much who's going to get the first stop on defense, just like you're playing Madden.
Or who has it last, you know?
Exactly.
I mean, so I look at Kansas City. I can't wait to watch that Sunday night, though. That's going to be incredible football, incredible TV. I'm anxious for prime time there. I'm hoping to catch the Rams and Donks on Sunday.
I think the Broncos are a mess, man.
They are. They don't
trusting
have.
Trusting Case Keenum, getting him over there. He's not
I like
leave
him,
anywhere.
But their alliance just eh.
Yeah,
and Von Miller, like, on the sideline, like, when Mahomes is driving him down for the winner, that's no good.
Yeah.
We'll wind down hour one on a Friday with Hail Varsity, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Winding down Friday, it's Hail Varsity, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Bill Dolman, Jacob Weinmaster, Klausburn. Next hour, Chris Schmidt, the Pride of Chicago, Danny Burke. Physics, well, they exist even when you're in your car. Your body's traveling the same speed as that vehicle, even though you're just sitting on your butt. If that vehicle stops abruptly, whether it's a hard stop or a crash, your body's going to continue to move forward at that speed. Something's got to stop that motion. You want it to be a seatbelt, or do you want it to be the windshield? Seatbelts prevent excessive injury when your vehicle is in motion and your body needs to slow down. That applies in the driver's seat, the passenger seat, or the back seat. Buckle up now. Click it or ticket. A message from the Nebraska Department of Highway Safety Office. 466-377-6800. 825-5865. Your gut says what? Nebraska or Northwestern? You know what? There's a lot of Nebraska fans out there that you're still paying attention. You're hoping for a win, but you're not as diehard or gung-ho right now because you're sick of being hurt. There's some emotional investment that you've spent, and I get it. But I'm thinking, wow, going to be a good Real Red reaction show tomorrow. Myself and Danny and JP, right when Northwestern Nebraska finishes, will be on. The plan is to be at a house party, a basketball party for Junior's team. We'll be live via satellite. It'll be fun. Can't wait for that. And we'll be ready to roll. So Real Red reaction right as soon as Nebraska gets done with Northwestern. We'll take we'll be on as long as you want us to be on and take your thoughts and calls. So keep that in mind. We'll remind you via ESPN Lincoln's Twitter handle and Hail Varsity, and take your thoughts and calls and have some reaction to what happens with Nebraska Northwestern. Big game tomorrow night is Michigan and Wisconsin. You'll hear that here on many of your Hail Varsity affiliates. That'll boot at 6. So I'm anxious to see that. My bro's going to be in town as well. So that'll be interesting. He's bringing the kids, lovely wife, and we are watching with some friends tomorrow. And then the old Schmidt clan will get together tomorrow night, likely. What do you got going? Other than, like, you know, you can't leave the studio.
Well, besides that, I got to see who's still left around because they got fall break at school. So a lot of people are going home.
And you're like, yeah, a lot of people are going home.
And Schmidt's keeping me here.
I'm an a-hole. I'm so sorry about that. Well, it's not my house. You want to come over?
Might as well. Free food, free drinks. Free food. Count
free,
me in.
Free food and free drinks. Exactly. So that's what's shaking tomorrow. Weekend edition of Hail Varsity. Myself, Mark Kranak, Danny Burke tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. Excited about that. A reminder, you've noticed that soybean sign in your neighbor's field this year. It's AgriGold. Customers have access to select soybean varieties direct to their farm. The AgriGold way, with high expectations for every seed that grows into the ground. The approach to soybeans, no different. High-performance soybeans from a brand you already know and trust. For more info, visit agrigold.com. Can't wait to talk to Bill Dolman, get his take on Nebraska, get his take on Northwestern, his thoughts on the Oregon State tampering. We need dramatic pausing music. And maybe get a thought of him on the Donks and the Rams. Bill's buddy Sue is in town, so we might get a live look from Donkeyland there. Great to have you in. It's Friday. Hail Varsity continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz_radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Great to be back. Hour 2, it's Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, the Pride of Chicago. Danny Burke, we welcome in with NBC Sports and the Pride of Fairbury, Bill Dolman, at Bill Dolman on Twitter. Billy D, how are you this Friday?
You know, after some chilly weather, it's 60 degrees here, but then the bad stuff's coming in over the weekend, so perhaps that will help the Broncos in their game against the Rams, but I doubt it.
Well, we'll get to that in a little bit. And why don't you send 60 our way? It's been 10 years since we've seen the sun. It's going to be snow on Sunday when Junior's playing middle linebacker. And I'm proud of that moment until he misses a tackle. So, send it our way. Send some of that 60 and sunny our way, man.
Look, I love Nebraska. It's the closest thing to heaven on earth. Mm-hmm. Fairbury, of course, is a suburb of heaven. But there's only like 6 nice days a year, let's face it. So, you know, you've got to be used to it by now.
I know. Are you used to this record by now, 0-5, as Nebraska heads to Northwestern?
You know, I'm not used to it in terms of accepting it. I think based on what I have seen, you are what your record says, but I don't think there are a lot of teams that are all that interested in playing Nebraska, and I think there's probably the sentiment that you better get them now because they're only going to get better. And so I'm not really worried about 0-5 in the context of the big picture. I think we're understanding and seeing the reality of what, look, Mike Riley is a very nice man, very well respected, probably a very good coach, for Oregon State. But this is not Oregon State. And we said that many times during the course of his tenure there. But I think we're understanding that, that the recruiting, not that there weren't good players brought in, but the philosophy of how they fit into what they want to do and what Nebraska is, it just wasn't there. There was just not an understanding of what Nebraska is all about, the football program and the state. And you have a guy there who gets it. And you have a lot of people coming back to help him who get it. And, Greg Austin's, been in the program, and the other coaches are certainly understanding it. They certainly have bought into what, Scott's looking for. But I'm not concerned about 0-5 in the grand scheme of things. I'm really not. And, people talked about it last week with what, it's interesting, Barry Alvarez, it's well known. He's talked about it for years. He built Wisconsin on Nebraska's blueprint. And this first year there, they went 1-10. What, they lose like 50 guys or something?
That's what he told us last week, yeah.
Yeah, and 5-6, 5-6, and all of a sudden, it happens immediately. What Bob Devaney did back in 1962 is unheard of. Think of all the rebuilding programs that there have, or programs that have been rebuilt with a transition from one coach to another and how long it takes. Devaney goes 9-2 out of the gate. That's unheard of. And maintained it. We had the down year in, 68? But there was a bowl game. So I'm not really concerned about it. What I saw on the field on Saturday, there are a lot of reasons to be optimistic about what the future holds, and that future might be coming into play much more, much sooner than, people who look at an 0-5 record would expect it to be. I think you're going to see some really good football the second half of the season, including this weekend.
Bill Dolman's with us, Hail Varsity Radio. At Bill Dolman on Twitter, NBC Sports. Bill, we'll get back to some of Nebraska's on-field and matchup stuff in a second. What's your take on the Oregon State-Nebraska dynamic with Coach Frost afterwards, talking tampering and not real wild about maybe some contact going on? I think the kids that went to Oregon State didn't want to work for a spot, and they had a backup plan or a parachute, or they did the reaching out. I don't think Riley or Bray would contact the kid while they're still at Nebraska. Guys that are out of coaching with the former staff, one guy's still in town here, who knows? Or maybe the kids reached out to them. But what's your reaction to this Oregon State-Nebraska dynamic that you've read about and seen this week?
Well, I certainly hope we don't make Oregon State mad.
I want to play them.
Come on.
So is everybody.
There's not just Nebraska and Oregon State. Apparently there's some stuff with, Nevada. Oh, we just accidentally sent some propaganda out there that whoops. If there are guys who were comfortable with the former staff and the approach of the former staff and the cuddling of the former staff, and that's where they want to go play, then okay. But I don't have a problem with Scott calling them out on it. It's kind of like Scott, saying, well, look, we're not going to play in December 1st. We're going to be in the Big Ten championship game. If Scott's going to throw his cards on the table and say, this is who we are, deal with it. And if we're worried about making Oregon State mad or whoever else, there ought to be an understanding. And I think this goes way back that you really shouldn't have interconference transfers. I don't think that that's appropriate necessarily. But if Oregon State reached out, it's wrong. And if there are guys, which wouldn't surprise me, that are still around Nebraska collecting a check, reaching out and saying, hey, you'd have a good opportunity there, that's probably wrong too. I'm sure Scott's not worried at all if the Beavers are bummed out. I really don't care. I'm glad they called him out if that's what's going on. But apparently, there's a deadline, and now this kid can re-transfer again, and now he can go?
Yeah, I mean, it's one of their kids. It's a kid from JUCO that they brought in. What I mean by their kids, it was the kid they were on the phone with in 24 hours when they took the Nebraska job, and Bell just, I mean, he didn't deliver early, right? I mean, he had to kind of re-win his spot back, and you watched him run the football. It's not that he couldn't have been great, but you had options with Ziggy and Maurice right now that they were playing better. That's who you're going to go with. I want to ask.
You've got what, three guys coming in that have signed for, you know, two or three running backs that are in next year's class?
I believe
you
so.
You know, look, these guys don't want to compete necessarily at that level. They want to go to a place where they can go play a lot, and maybe you turn into the next Jacquizz Rodgers. I don't know. But, you know, you don't want to compete within the team that you have signed and committed to. You want to go, you want to have the opportunity to go play, and the competition is probably not going to be all that tough. It really doesn't matter if you win or not. You're just there to, you know, to get your carries and get your yards or get your receptions. Okay. But, again, it's how you're going to probably be treated, and I would think that Oregon State, their approach to football might be a little different than it is at Nebraska and in the Big Ten and with what you represent when you become a Nebraska Cornhusker. And again, I go back to our conversation of last week, and I've thought about this a lot. I think if somebody transfers in the middle of the year, I think you can do that, and maybe you're eligible next year, but you lose the year of eligibility. I think the mid-year transfer waves that red shirt. You know, I've only played in four games, so it's my redshirt year. I think there's got to be something.
Some follow-up.
To say, look, okay, you want to leave and you want to be eligible next year, that's fine, but you lose the redshirt deal. I think there's got to be something that makes the ability to break the commitment that easily. There's got to be something punitive to the player. Mm-hmm. Go where you want, but this deep in, you lost your year. You can play next year wherever you want to go. And wherever it's agreed that you can go, that something like has to be in play, or it's just going to become a free agent market in college football.
Bill Dolman's with us, NBC Sports, Hail Varsity Radio, at Bill Dolman on Twitter. Billy D, a thought here. You mentioned Scott putting his cards on the table. Do you think he's rubbing some wrong in the Big Ten? And I go back to just a laundry list, and we're talking about it because Nebraska's 0-5. We're now into the point of some of his commentary, and Coach Frost is very confident, and he wants his guys to be confident, and he's going to have his guys back. But if you're Coach Brohm, when it's winnable game, that's brought up, and that irked the Purdue guys. You mentioned adjusting to us, or you didn't mention it, but he mentioned adjusting to us. That was his hope, right, from the get-go. There's some swag and confidence Frost is bringing in. Do you think the rest of the – and then, you know, we out-hit him going back to Michigan. That was something on the Michigan players' minds. There's words being spoken by Frost being used by either players on other teams or other coaches for extra ammo, so to speak, with Nebraska. What's your thought on that?
If Purdue looked so in between the lines on their Big Chief tablet, to think that was a slight.
They did.
You know, come on. Yeah. I mean, that is just going out and parsing words. I've never really believed that is going to be that big a deal unless you really, really do something and say something egregious. If Scott gotten up there after, what was it, the Purdue game or the Michigan game and said, look, we all know Purdue sucks, all right? I mean, they're Purdue, right? They haven't been good since Jim Everett and Drew Brees. Mike Allstott. Look, they're not any good, so we should win next week. All right, I can see where you might tack that up on the locker room wall. Now, Tom certainly could have said that in 94, 95, 96, 97, and it would have been flat out true, and they could have put whatever on a wall that they wanted. They still would have gotten their asses kicked.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, to parse that, look, it's a winnable game. Okay, you're going to really read into that is a major slight against our program, then you're really reaching. You know, I don't think Scott said anything that was untoward or ungentlemanly in the game of football. Sometimes I think we'd all like for coaches to say that. You know, look, we ought to win. These guys aren't any good. That'd be great. But every week on Monday or Tuesday at the press conferences, it's a good football team. Really well-coached football team. Good football team. Well, okay. We hear that every week. Every team is great, and there are teams that aren't very good. You know, if Purdue's looking for some way to motivate themselves, all right, good on you. You're Purdue. You're in West Lafayette, Indiana. Congratulations. You won.
Bill, kind of staying on the same topic with players leaving and wanting to go somewhere else and confidence, but taking a 180 in the sport, I want to get your thought on the whole Jimmy Butler debacle in the NBA. I know you're kind of our NBA guy on the show here, so I wanted to get your thoughts on that.
I think the timing is really odd. That's what I just don't – I mean, we're on the cusp of the new season. You've gone through the entire, you know, I kind of remember a little bit with the James Harden deal when he left Oklahoma City, like literally the night before the first game landed, they go to Miami and they play and he has 41 points. But there wasn't the acrimony that's going on with Butler and with trades falling through. Like, why wasn't this taken care of a long time ago? That to me is really what I find surprising. Did he have an agreement that we're going to get, you know, we will trade you, and we're going to do this, and if we just don't do it, then he gets to stick around, and he'll just say no big deal. I think you're finding a situation with a guy in Butler that is not finding himself with, and everybody in the league wants a big three, right? And he's not one of them. And I think he's pissed that he's going to go into another season that he doesn't look to his left and see LeBron or whomever, you know, that he is where he is, and it's going to be probably a bad year. My guess is he's not going to stay, that there will be a trade, and he'll get what he wants. But you'd hope that it's not to the detriment to the beginning of the season, wherever he ends up. But whenever that trade goes down, I would doubt that it goes till February.
Send him to Sacramento.
Right. Why wasn't this decided, you know, in June or maybe not the start of training camp? Yeah. It really hasn't come to a head until, you know, the calendar turns to October, and then now it's that's what I find odd. But I don't think he'll be there the entire year.
Bill Dolman's with us, NBC Sports, Hail Varsity Radio, at Bill Dolman on Twitter. Bill, we need, I got about a minute left here. We need a prediction, Nebraska, Northwestern. Why does Nebraska win?
Well, because they're Nebraska, and this thing with Nebraska, I've been saying this since the Big Ten started. How is this a rivalry? This has to go away, all right?
Don't split games with them then.
Well, I know. I mean, this is ridiculous. So Nebraska goes in there. They get the win. I know Thorson is playing, you know, pretty well in the last, three games. He got 8 touchdowns. But they're 0-3 at home. They've lost to Akron, all right, who chickened out of a game against Nebraska at the beginning of the year. Let's face it. So I think, you know, one thing that really stood out to me, maybe this is an aside from predicting the game, I really like the way Scott identified Adrian Martinez as the guy, which in the big picture of things, if this is the way they identify players for what they want to do going forward, I really like the way that they identify people. And they had that guy the moment Scott left the field at the AAC championship game, that Adrian Martinez was the guy for Nebraska, for the offense and for going forward. And they were 100% right.
Mm-hmm.
He's one of the most electrifying quarterbacks in the country. And I think he will lead them to a win. He is a total difference maker, much in the way Tommy was, the way Turner was. And Nebraska hasn't had a quarterback like that in a long time. Maurice Washington's special. I think the defense puts a lot of pressure on Thorson. They can't run the football. Not that Nebraska can stop it. But I think Nebraska gets has their best, most complete performance of the day. And they lower that yellow state flag down a notch, maybe just 5 penalties. And Nebraska wins pretty comfortably.
Bill, we love it. Thanks for the time, bud.
Yeah, same score as last week.
All right, we'll go with it.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Jacob Linemaster's with us here on Hail Varsity Radio, Husker linebacker. Got into the fourth quarter. What was that experience like at Camp Randall?
Oh, it was awesome. You know, you grew up watching games at Wisconsin, you know, whether it be Michigan State, at Wisconsin, Iowa, whatever. Nebraska, and you just like, dang, Camp Randall, that's one of the, you know, big places to play. And so, you know, getting the opportunity to go and play there was definitely just, it was just awesome. It was an experience I'll never forget.
So how did you, when you got out there, when your name and number was called, did you soak it in? Did you just run out there? Did you let it slow down? Or did you just, is it a blur? I mean, how did you process the moment?
Yeah, I think, so Coach Dedrick was kind of, you know, moving around. There was a play I was getting ready to go in earlier in the game, and my heart kind of like dropped. I was like, oh crap, here we go. And so I ran in there, but he's like, no, not yet. Okay, I was like, okay. You know, just with the way the game plan was going. And I went out there when my name got called, and, you know, I think I was very calm. You know, I think the Lord was, you know, giving me peace through that, because a normal day I would have been, you know, shaken and, yeah, heart coming out of the chest, definitely. And, you know, I just went out there, you know, I didn't take the opportunity to kind of look around and absorb it like I probably should have, but I do remember going out there and lining up that first play and, you know, just being, okay, here we go. And it was snap, there you go.
When you look at Wisconsin and back and forth game, and some stops early, some stops late, what sticks out about their offense?
They know what they're doing, and they're built for what they want to do, and they're very tough, they're very strong, they're in your face, they're coming at you, you know they're going to run the football. And so just the fact that they, kudos to them, because they know what they're going to do, and they'd still do it, you know. So yeah, just kudos to them, because they played great, you know, and we learned a lot about ourselves and a lot of good things, you know. And they're also a couple of years ahead in the weight room than we are, and so, you know, Coach Duvall's doing a great job catching us back up, and we'll come around, we'll be ready to handle those guys.
Your approach, man, you seem like a guy that loves all of it. You just love football, and it's not been something for you, and correct me if I'm wrong, but you welcome that. You welcome the Duvall system. You're all about getting bigger, stronger, faster. And what gains and what payoffs have you seen in this short amount of time for you, for yourself personally?
You know, definitely a lot more lean muscle mass. Definitely the strongest I've ever been in my life, probably the fastest as well. You know, just the way he does it is just the attack mentality. Every rep, every set, every down, you know, just attack it with everything you are. And, you know, I think that carries over into life too, like in class and with, you know, with your girlfriend, and in a good way, of course. And with you know, your work ethic with future job, you know, you attack that relationship, you attack that job with everything you are, and you give it your very best. And, you know, that's what glorifies God, and that's what, you know, makes men.
Well, and that to me, it sounds like it's not just like it's a lifestyle,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, for sure. Definitely every day, you know, and I'm starting to see it more. You know, I never really thought about attacking everything every day. And then you start thinking about it, you're like, you know what? I need to attack this. You know, this homework problem. It's like, oh, this is kicking my butt. You know, no, attack it, you know, and then you come at it. And then at the end of the day, even if you don't win, you know, you gave it your best, and you know, you can walk away saying like, okay, I did my part. So
what do you like about this defense and where you've kind of climbed the ladder a bit here at that inside spot? What do you enjoy about playing the position under Chenander and under Coach Rude?
Yeah. You know, I love the middle linebacker spot. It's always been, you know, just something I love to do, because, you know, it's in the middle. You can go, you're involved in everything, in pass and in run. You get to hit people all the time. And, you know, under Chenander, he's had that same approach, that just attack, and Coach Rude attack, you know, and being able to be coached by those guys who've got some really good NFL experience, and really good experience here with Coach Rude. It's really just like, it's a dream come true, you know, just get to learn under those guys who've been through it, who know what they're doing, and who are doing it right. So
take me back. Give me your story. How did you find your way to Lincoln from Loveland, Colorado?
Yeah, that's a long story. I'll try to shorten it up. But Nebraska's always been my dream school. And coming out of high school, I didn't have any offers anywhere, D1, D2, D3. I had a couple walk-on offers at Colorado State and Wyoming. And I was getting ready to commit to Wyoming, but then God opened the door to come here, and I jumped on it, because, you know, that's, I grew up, you know, there's pictures of me when I'm 8 years old, wearing Husker stuff. And I remember, you know, Zach Taylor, Maurice Purify with the fade pass. That's kind of when it became real to me. So, yeah, it's just been, you know, it was a lifelong dream. And when God opened that door, I took it.
So you knew a lot. How did you know about Nebraska? Your folks grow up Nebraska fans then?
Yeah, my dad's parents are from Scotts Bluff.
Okay.
So he grew up a Husker fan. And it just kind of, he calls it, he gave me the disease is what he calls it. But I don't think that
depending on how the Buffs are doing or C-State's doing, right? I mean, Nebraska's pretty prevalent out there in Colorado still. And you mentioned Purifying, you mentioned Zach, that fade route at A&M. I remember it like it was yesterday, too. And was it hard to maybe pick Nebraska over some other opportunities like a Wyoming and what Coach Bowles got going?
Coach Bowles doing a great job over there. I definitely thought about that. But like I said, you know, this is where I've always wanted to be. And so when I was given that opportunity, it really wasn't a second guessing. It was just, this is what I'm going to do.
How have you been able to stay positive, confident, patient with where you're at? You're a junior now and you're making strides. But did it ever feel like a time or two you were far away? Did you have any doubt that you'd be able to succeed?
Absolutely. You know, coming in a walk-on, that's the hard way to go. And then, you know, there were definitely days where I questioned whether I wanted to do it anymore. I got close to walking away a couple times. But, you know, my faith and my family kept me grounded that whole time, you know, told me to keep going, even when it wasn't easy. And I think ultimately, like, even if it hadn't worked out, who I've become through it is worth it, because, you know, I'm closer to God, I'm closer to my family. I feel like I can approach life with an attack mentality, because if I can attack this, I can attack a job when I'm done with this. I can attack, you know, working in the real world or running a family or supporting them, you know, because I'll be ready to do that.
What do you know, what do you remember about Northwestern? They've been back and forth games as long as I can remember.
Yeah, man, they're always that sleeper team. You know, they're always good. And, you know, you can never not prepare for them. You can never not prepare for anybody, but like Northwestern especially, like they know how to beat you. And you got to come in, you got to give them your best, just like everybody else. I know they're having a good season. And we got to be ready to go just like we do every week and, you know, attack it 100%.
Jacob Weinmaster with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Last thought here, the talk after the Wisconsin game as you guys get ready for Northwestern is we're so, so close. Do you feel that way? Do you feel like the breakthrough is around the corner?
I do. You know, just seeing the way we're practicing, you know, the little things that we're cleaning up as the season's going, I definitely feel that we're, you know, one step away. And, you know, that step might be the last step. It's probably the hardest step. And, you know, once we break through, we'll be ready to go, and we're coming back.
As Coach Frost kept things positive and real at the same time, hey, you guys are doing a great job, but you need to get better here. What's it been like playing for him?
It's been great. You know, he's done such a great job, like you said, walking that line of, you know, keeping our heads on straight, because, you know, right now it's easy to lose your head and, you know, go down the drain of, oh crud, like we're, you know, look where we're going. It's like, no, he's done a great job of keeping us going in the right direction. And, you know, even seeing just those little victories throughout, you know, each game, a few more little victories, it's going to break through sometime. It has to, you know, as long as you keep doing things right, like truth prevails in the end. You know, he's, and we're seeing it, like, and once it breaks through, I think it'll come together a lot faster. So just, we need that first one.
Jacob, best to you, man. Thanks.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Good stuff from Jake and Weinmaster. Jacob playing inside linebacker, number 57. You'll see him on the field tomorrow. More action for him and some pretty much truth there. Some insight on where Nebraska's at, where they want to go, and what the coaches have done. So ESPN has retweeted out, and we've retweeted the weigh-in between Crawford and Benavent Diaz. Say that for me. I just butchered that. My credibility is just garbage right now. Jose, and I failed Spanish. So Jose Benavent Diaz, is that right?
Let me see the spelling of his name.
It's Benavidez. Benavent Diaz.
Of course, my tweets aren't... Okay, it looks like Benavidez?
Benavidez? All right, we'll go with
Jose
that.
Jose Benavidez?
Anywho, the next dead man. He's gotten personal with Crawford. Crawford was staring him down at the weigh-in. Check out Twitter. It's already been retweeted almost 700 times. And you had Jose shove Crawford. Crawford swung a right hand, and Jose turned his head and missed. So this thing went nuclear. As much garbage has been spewed by Jose towards Crawford in about 30 seconds. Pretty cool. Yeah, I loved watching. We were down at the rail yard for the Crawford fight at PBA when he last fought in Nebraska. And I am going to check that out. I know I got Michigan and Wisconsin going on tomorrow night. We'll be doing the Real Red Reaction show leading up to Michigan, Wisconsin, following Nebraska, Northwestern. But I'm anxious to see Crawford and this fight on Saturday night. I'll flip over to it. It'll be on ESPN. I know you're an MMA guy and you like Connor, and I don't hate it. I just haven't gotten into it. I love boxing, getting together with people. I'm not an expert on it. You've got to research it. It's not as easy to get into as football, baseball, basketball from a mainstream standpoint, but Crawford's such a good dude. And a former Nebraska strength and conditioning guru, still a strength and conditioning guru, Jamie Belt's part of Team Crawford. So it's easy to cheer for Bud being a Nebraska guy, but easy to cheer for Bud because of Jamie. And that's Jamie's guy. He's been working with Bud for a long time. So that'll be it was already kind of must-see TV, but now the nation, thanks to social media, is going to be like, okay, it's 10-7, and it's a punt fest with this Big Ten or whatever the game of the night is, right? Let's check out Crawford. So that's pretty nice. Friday forecast coming up. Klausburn will be with us. And four picks sure to go to hell. Promise you that. Hail Varsity continues.
Miss us?
Come here, brother. Give me a hug. Bring it in for the real thing.
We're on call for you. Catch the podcast at HailVarsity.com, the ESPN Lincoln app, or download them on iTunes.
Saddle up, partner.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Great to have you back. Hail Varsity Radio presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, the pride of Chicago, is Danny Burke. We are efforting Klausburn as part of the Friday forecast. Want to remind you about Wilderness Ridge. Now, weather has been gruesome. I'm not going to lie to you when it comes to trying to get out and swing the clubs. But there is a fireplace in the lodge. There's a glass of bourbon waiting for you. And there's a beautiful deck once it gets to be 60 and sunny again. WildernessRidgeGolf.com. You can log on. Want to remind you what's happening, and that is the Thanksgiving Day brunch. Always something to be thankful for. And this, no dish is an incredible meal. Get your reservation in now. Brunch Thursday, November 22nd, 11 to 3 at Wilderness Ridge. An incredible brunch. The menu's tremendous. And do they invite you out? You got a house full coming? It's easy to freak out about it. Let Wilderness take care of it. You can log on WildernessRidgeGolf.com. Find out more information on that. 466-377-6800, 825-5865. You can join us. We may have a little bit of time here before we get a hold of Klausburn. And Danny, we had Coach B chime in via email, and he's all over your picks last night. What's going on?
Well, apparently he's losing faith in me.
He's trolling you. You know this.
Last night, so I said, put the gun in my head, or don't put the gun in my head, but I'd lean toward the Giants. Obviously, they crapped the bed. But I said, take the over, absolutely. The over hit, no problem. Then I said, Texas Tech covering. They went outright. And I said, I'd
that
lean.
That game's a joke.
Yeah. And then I said,
since when does the Big 12 go 17-14?
And then I said, I'd lean the over. And then, like, one in a million, it was one of the lowest scoring games of the year. So 2-2. not bad. It's not like I was riding on the picks like I do for the forecast, but hey, you can't ask. I mean, it's better than going under 500.
All right. Two. Well, Clausburn is probably swallowing handfuls of balloons right now because he threw his cigarette out the window and got pulled over, and now they're searching his car, and there's four Dobermans or German Shepherds, maybe both. You and I, head-to-head, what do you want to bet?
Ooh, I don't know, man. Every time I win the steak and the beer, we always just go double or nothing. So you're like, I need it to come to fruition.
So you're like telling me you need to collect.
That's right.
All right. You need to make a decision as a man right now.
All right. So, okay.
You need to make a decision as a man if you're going to continue on this prime rib is a steak. Prime rib is its own food group.
Yeah, I'll keep saying
you need to say steak in a beer or prime rib in a beer.
Look, you're a big Texas Roadhouse guy or whatever, so you're going to take me there when I beat you.
Okay,
talk a big game.
Fine.
So that's it.
It'll have to be you and me because if we take the fam, there'll be no bread left for anybody.
Yeah, no, that's fair. That's fair.
That's fine. So, let's not mention any more unpaid sponsors here. Otherwise, the sales department will come in and go Anchorman on us. So it's you and me. Let's get down to business. Clausburn, you're dead to me. Here we go. Georgia, -7 at LSU. I am going to go. God, I think my gut says Georgia wins. LSU will cover. And we're going to go 35-31. That's a hell of a lot of points for LSU. But Georgia wins 35-31. Every time I try and go like typical 21-17 SEC game, it's always about 10 points higher. Give me Georgia, but LSU the cover.
Yeah, this game's tough. I love Georgia, though. They helped me a lot last year with some games. But I just hate the 7-point spread on the road. And I've been riding the Tigers decently this year. But Georgia is 10-2 against the spread on the road. However, the Tigers are 8-1 against the spread against playing their conference. That being said, going to go against you, take Georgia -7, winning 35-27.
Okay, so you're going, okay. We'll review on Monday. Wisconsin is at Michigan. The Bear, Chris Felica, part of game day, tweeted this out. I think Ohio State and Penn State are the only teams to beat Wisconsin in the Big Ten the last decade by more than double digits. The last time Wisconsin rolled up to Michigan, they were supposed to get trounced. It was a 14-7 snot knocker. I think the defense is as good as it gets for Michigan. I think Wisconsin is down. I think Wisconsin will find a way to cover the number. I think Michigan wins, and Wisconsin will cover. And I think it's going to be a 27-21 type game. Give me Michigan the win, but the Badgers cover.
Schmitty, this is free money. You're literally handing it to me. I'm taking Wisconsin +9.5. Michigan is 1-9-1 against the spread playing Wisconsin, and Wisconsin is 6-1 against the spread on the road. That's easy money, my man.
But so like it's going to go the other way.
No. But like you said, Michigan, overall, maybe. I might have screwed the pooch. But Michigan will win, like you said, 30-28, but Wisconsin's covering 9.5, no doubt.
Ooh. Huskies are at Oregon, -3.5. Washington's had a couple of guys retire this week. Oregon is a different animal at night. They are so good at Autzen. I think that's an afternoon game, not a night game. Am I right there?
I believe so.
So I think that's a difference. I think if you're going to Oregon at night, it could be deadly.
That's a good point.
Oregon's better. I mean, they could have folded at Cal. That's a tough road game for them right after the Stanford debacle.
Mm-hmm.
Stanford's really gone to hell after the Oregon win. I think the Huskies win, and I think the Huskies cover. I think they're too good, and I think they win by probably about 7-10 points. Give me Washington 41. Give me Oregon 35.
Okay. See, I'm going to go against you here. Both teams are pretty bad against the spread. Washington 1-5 against the spread on the road. Oregon 1-4 against the spread at home. But Oregon is 11-2-1 against the spread versus Washington. Big sign right there, my man. So I'm taking Oregon plus 3.5, but Washington will probably win. I got them winning 37-34.
Okay, so the hook will do it. Nebraska, Northwestern. We are going to take. I am going to take Nebraska. I think Nebraska wins outright.
Shocker.
Time is now for Nebraska, and I think Adrian's the difference. With a little bit better defensive effort. 31-28. Nebraska wins a tight one.
Nebraska keeps breaking my heart with the spread and winning this year, but I'm still going to take Nebraska plus 4.5. That's too big in this matchup where both teams win on the road consistently. Nebraska 1-5 against the spread this year, 2-5 against the spread against Northwestern. Northwestern 10-3 against the spread in their last 13 games. So Nebraska will cover, but Northwestern will win 38-36.
Okay, wow. Real quick, rapid fire, 30 seconds. South Florida, Tulsa, who do you got tonight? South Florida minus 9.5.
It went to 9.5?
Yeah.
Wow, I got it at 7. So I'd say South Florida by a couple points with 7, but 9? Ugh, Tulsa might cover at home.
Air Force, San Diego State, SDSU minus 11.
Yeah, give me San Diego State.
Arizona, Utah, Utes minus 15.
Yeah, give me Arizona. Why is Arizona so low on that? I don't know what's
Sumlin?
The deal. Yeah,
I don't know. Just a suggestion.
I'll take it.
We'll say goodbye next on Hail Varsity.
Now live from the ESPN Lincoln Studios, it's Hail Varsity.
I know what that means.
With Chris Schmidt and Danny Burke.
Loaded up tonight, we'll have Millard West against Lincoln East. Kickoff at 8 o'clock. Myself, Tim Bob Gitzmiller on ESPN Lincoln. Danny Burke back in studio. Tomorrow morning, weekend edition of Hail Varsity Radio. Myself, Mark Kranach, Danny Burke at 7 a.m. And then the Real Red Reaction Show. As soon as Nebraska gets done beating Northwestern, Daniel, and that'll get rolling probably 2:30-ish or so.
Mm-hmm.
And myself, JP, and you, and we'll talk Nebraska, Northwestern. I just saw the greatest thing in the world on Facebook, and I know, you're on Facebook. I like the pictures, okay? There's a family dressed up with all the important characters from the movie of Coming to America. Have you seen that one?
Coming to America?
Yes, with Eddie Murphy.
Yeah, no, I know it. I think I've seen parts of it. I don't think I've seen the whole thing.
Yeah, James Earl Jones playing the king, the dad, and he's got like this lion face as part of his coat, and you've got, instead of a McDonald's, a McDowell's costume, and then you have Randy something or other. I don't know, but he was the lead singer of Sexual Chocolate.
Sounds like that's up your alley, man.
You gotta check it out.
All right,
it's hilarious. It's too good. What are your plans other than being here with me all weekend?
Oh yes, you're keeping me trapped all weekend, man. I don't know.
I am so sorry. It is fall break.
I might have to I'm graduated, so it's fine. I'm just gonna keep it low key, watching football the whole time. I'd have to come by your party though after the reaction show.
That'll be good.
Yeah.
And it's not my party, but you're welcome to come to
cover at the door
to coach's party. Absolutely.
$10 cover.
All the basketball moms there though. I'd watch out.
It's no problem by me, man.
No.
Don't keep selling once you made the deal, my friend.
I'm going to rent you out, Danny. Put you to work, hauling kids around.
Let's do it.
That'll be all right.
I'll just play Fortnite with them. We'll be okay.
See, they're not doing that anymore, Danny.
Oh, they've moved
Fortnite's
on already?
Fortnite's not cool. It's Madden.
But the new season came out. Yeah, I switch it up between Madden and Fortnite now. So,
what's the new Fortnite? Is it the World War II? You kill Nazis? Is that it?
No, it's just Battle Royale. So you could do squads, duos, or by yourself with 100 people in the match. And the new season came out, so it's like Halloween spooky theme now.
So I got the best Fortnite story. This came from a confidential source.
Oh, boy.
So Junior's playing, and he's playing his nephew Davis, or his cousin Davis. And my kids, and I'm gonna just out him right now. But my kid's playing, and he gets shot. He gets killed.
Mm-hmm.
And
please tell me there's a hole in your wall.
No, there's no hole. This is better. My kid's 11 going on 12, and he gets killed in Fortnite, and he's on with his cousin. and he forgot who he was on with. He forgot who may have been listening. And he just screams just this angry F-bomb. And he's just like, you know, you say it.
Yeah, yeah.
You say it and you yell it because you're so mad you got beat. And I'm just like,
wonder where he got that from.
Well, exactly. His mom, as much as we love her, got to work on her language around him.
Did you guys like all hear him say it too?
Again, this is a confidential source. Okay. I did not personally hear it.
Okay, okay.
But I kind of nodded and said, that's my boy. Don't be using it.
Hey, at least he didn't chuck the controller.
No, because they're too expensive. We would have chucked him. Talk to you tomorrow at 7 on Hail Varsity Weekend Edition. Thanks.